Sean from Smile Empty Soul here in beautiful St. Louis, Missouri at Firebrand Recording, which is a wonderful studio here, tracking our new record, Swan Song, which will start to be released one song at a time here in probably about June, and the whole thing will come out at the end of the year. So keep your ears peeled for it and check it out when it comes out.
Hey, it's your favorite comedian Anthony Rogers, live in his tour bus, yeah. But also, you need to get a beard like this. People have been talking. They said your shit looks whack. It looks weird. They can't tell your pronouns. You need to get a beard like this right now. And the only way to do that is by using Luxurious Bastard Beard Oil. Great smell, great function, great everything. Just get this, and there's directions on how to use it if you know how to read. But use the link in the description, go to the website, use promo code LEGENDARY, get a discount, do it, thank you, boom.
Welcome back to the best show in the universe. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. Just talking about how fake the formalities are after talking, like, just like, and then you go straight back in. You're like, oh hi, like after I just made fun and saying hi. I also love to add the beginning where I have like, I'm like making fun of facial hair when I have male pattern baldness. I'm just like, if you don't have this beard, you know, it's like that was going bald. Like, it's like, just like such an ironic ad, you know. Like I love watching that, you know. But you listen to The Offspring?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I grew up listening to that kind of music.
I did too. Like, I remember playing like Crazy Taxi and like hearing a bunch of like that music the whole time. I think they did the Crazy Taxi soundtrack for like one of the. I'm older than you probably. I just realized that when I was saying that.
Is that a movie? I don't think I've ever heard of it.
No, it's like an old game console. I realized that halfway. So you're like 10 years younger than me. I'm like, you probably didn't have this game console. I was saying, I forgot what it was. It was exclusive to some game console I played when I was a kid. But anyway, oh, okay. If you read the description, we have a very talented drummer, an absolute legend, and a lot of bands I found out like when I was like researching him, like Pete. How you doing, brother?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. How do you say your last name? I didn't want to butcher that and embarrass myself, you know.
Oh, Parada.
I thought so. I just didn't want to say it wrong, you know. I just went, hey, there's Pete. I could have faked it, but I just wanted to not. I butcher everyone's last name.
I appreciate your thoroughness.
That's awesome. So what's it like playing with such legendary bands, man? I mean, like two to stick out to me are like Save the Day and like The Offspring. Those are two, like, I mean, legendary bands in American culture, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you're playing drums. It's fun. If it's not fun, then you're either doing it wrong or you're with the wrong people. So both those bands were a good time. I mean, between the two of them, that's 20 years of my career almost. They were pretty different stylistically. Saves the Day was a little bit more adventurous musically, and Offspring kind of has their sound and sticks to it. But both really fun. I mean, with Offspring, I played for like, you know, crowds of, you know, up to 200,000 people. Like, it was insane. Whoa. You know, I'm from a tiny town in upstate New York of about 1,000 people. And so to go from that to some of these situations, you know, some days was pretty surreal.
Damn. Was it like almost like a culture shock? Just changing lifestyle?
For sure. I mean, when I first started touring, like that, me going on tour was me having to be around people. And for a super introvert, that was tough for a while, but it was good for me to have to be like, well, you're going to be around big crowds of people every day. You go talk to people, get over your nervousness, get over your bullshit. And so it was, for me, it was very, very helpful to be like, oh, okay, I can talk to people. Oh, I get to have opinions here. Okay, cool. So yeah, touring opened up a lot of the world for me and opened my eyes and my mind to things. Like I said, I grew up pretty sheltered in a small town. And so going around the world and seeing all these different countries and different cultures was really, really a special thing to be able to do for, you know, the past 25 years or so.
Yeah, that's like everyone's dream.
Yeah.
Do you still feel like you're introverted, or did like your career help you kind of overcome your social anxiety?
I'm still pretty introverted. Like if I'm not on tour and forced to be around a lot of people, I'm probably not going to go, you know, like drag me out to go see something. Like, you know, I'll go see a show here or there, but you know, when I'm home, I like to be hanging out with my wife and my kids and just, you know, kicking back a little bit. But I've certainly mellowed in my older age, my younger years. I mean, when I played in Saves the Day, I was also playing in Face to Face at the same time. And so there was, you know, there was a year where I just wasn't home at all. I went straight from one tour to another and back and forth, or straight into the studio, back on tour. And that was probably not the best plan. Yeah, it was not fun. I mean, it was fun, but then you're just kind of, you don't know where you are anymore. And
burned out. I would feel burned out. I feel like
I was toast by the end of that year. I was like, okay, yeah, I can't do this anymore. So, but.
That's crazy. So did you play drums as like a child and stuff, and you just kind of evolved this naturally, or how did this come together? Like,
yeah, when I was a kid, my dad was a music teacher of like elementary and high school band director, right? So he played lots of instruments. I have two older brothers that both, you know, all knew we were going to have to pick an instrument, and both of them played like saxophone and clarinet, and I didn't want to learn all the fingerings for those instruments, so I thought, oh, I'll just play the drums. I'll get away with one here, right? And I'd always been, you know, like every drummer's story, banging on pots and pans and, you know, building drum sets out of whatever you could. But, you know, over time, just kind of fell in love with it. Didn't realize, you know, sneaking in, trying to be lazy about it. It ended up being, you know, my entire career and a large part of my life. But I didn't get really serious about it until I was probably about 15, 16. You know, I was in a small town. There wasn't a lot of other musicians there. When one kid moved to town who could actually play a little bit of guitar, then it was like, oh, you're the one guy in town that has a drum set. We're coming to your house and starting a band. And, you know, and then we just played the most god awful racket you've ever heard in my parents' basement for a long time. And, you know, I had a few beats and thought I was cool and grew my hair out and whatever. But I saw another kid play in, my dad taught at the next town over that was, you know, my town was 1,000 people, that town was 10,000. And there was a drummer there that was just astounding. And I always thought, you know, you'd watch growing up, you know, I'm aging myself in the 80s, watching MTV and stuff. You'd watch all these bands and you're like, wow, I could never play like that. And here's this kid all of a sudden playing exactly like that. So it sort of flipped a switch in my head of like, oh, if he can do it, I can do it. And, you know, came home the next day from seeing him play and just started practicing and poured myself into it. After that, I moved as soon as I graduated high school, I moved with that drummer to LA, to Hollywood, to go to music school, and just kind of never looked back.
Nice.
So awesome. I was always wondering where people were, all people, you know. So that's interesting hearing that. Like, it's in like, so you're in a lot of harder bands too, right? Those other bands you're in, like Face to Face, is that like a harder band?
They're like a SoCal pop punk band. They were like in the early 90s, like really kind of when that scene was breaking through, you know, Face to Face was part of that wave of bands of, you know, Green Day and Offspring and Blink-182 and, you know, Sublime and that class of bands was coming up around the same time. But yeah, I grew up on heavy metal. Like I was a metal guy even when I got the Face to Face gig.
You seem like a metal guy. I was like reading that. That's right.
Yeah, I never played punk rock until Face to Face. So it was just, you know, fell into it to learn it to get the gig. But
no, that makes sense, man. Okay. So also, I was reading some stuff on like Blabbermouth, I think, and then like some other stuff. Like, so you like the Offspring, like basically, like they pretty much like kicked you out for not getting vaccinated, like is what the article was saying. Is that true?
Yeah. So in 2021, you know, when all this stuff was coming to a head and Live Nation and companies wanted to get everybody back on tour, you know, there was the dilemma of how do we unring the bell of the last year of terrifying people into their homes and now get them to come back out and buy tickets and t-shirts and give us their money and cheer for us. And not an easy sell because, you know, you kind of steered everyone in the ditch. How do you get them back on the road? So someone somewhere higher up came up with the idea of the fully vaccinated tour where someone thought it made sense to say that all the band and the crew were vaccinated, so everyone would be fine. And a few bands out of the gate even decided to make their shows. You had to bring your vaccine card or you couldn't get in, that kind of thing. And those shows went away pretty quickly because there was a really big backlash to it. Like, you know, people realized they were alienating their fan base and losing money because, you know, like mandating stuff on your band and crew, good for business. Mandating on your audience, bad for business. So we had the nonsense of, well, the band and crew are fully vaccinated, so it's totally safe for the rest of you to come and jump around and scream and yell. And it'll, like, there's some invisible barrier between the band and the audience. Right. None of it made any sense.
Where's the line? It's always changing with that. It doesn't make sense. Like, you could be at a restaurant around a bunch of people, but walking in and walking out, you always had to wear a mask. It's like, how does this make, it just doesn't make any sense.
But once you sit down, it's fine. COVID can't get you in your chair.
Right, right. Yeah, no, once you sit down, then all of a sudden it's like, the germs aren't, I don't know.
Yeah, so I have a history of bad reactions to vaccines. I have something called Guillain-Barré syndrome, which, you know, flares up when I've been vaccinated over my lifetime. And so I was not keen on taking this. I had already had COVID, and I was watching the data and the testing or the trials really closely, and they didn't have anybody in the trials for these vaccines that wasn't perfectly healthy. There was nobody in there with any autoimmune conditions like me or anybody with any comorbidities or overweight. It was like, we're taking the best of the best and we're going to say it's all perfectly safe for everyone. And, you know, I knew from personal experience that nothing is 100% for every person. So, you know, for me, my doctor wrote me an exemption, the band didn't care. And it kind of came to a head in the summer of 21. We were getting ready to start rehearsals and go back on tour. We had just put a record out in the spring, and I'd been out in LA working. I live in Nashville. I was flying out to shoot music videos and photo shoots and all that stuff that you do getting ready for an album to come out. And everything was fine then. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, got a phone call from their manager that was just like the scorched earth, like just tore into me, was super abusive and threatening, and, you know, made it very clear in no uncertain terms that either I was to get the vaccine or I would be replaced.
And what kind I tried of to talk
of just anything that I brought up, it didn't matter. It was just shouting over me, shouting me down. Like, I don't know if that was just his tactic with people in general, was I'm going to play the bully and bully you into submission or what. I don't like to try to guess at what people's motives are. I can just, you know, tell you from my end. You know, I'm a drummer in the music business. We're pretty much on the bottom of the ladder here. So I'm used to being treated kind of like, I'm standing on them. But, you know, we're used to being treated like crap. But this was like, I've never in my entire career had a phone call like this. It was so like just out of control. And so, you know, I went to the band, tried to, you know, talk with them. They backed him up and, you know, I basically found out that I was replaced from my Southwest app because I checked my flight to rehearsal and saw that it was canceled. And then that same day, my access to the band calendar, work calendar was revoked. And then I've just ghosted, just gone, erased, like me and my family, like we never existed. And that
like
was
a middle school breakup. That's crazy. Crazy.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
And you were in the band for how long? So like 2007 14, or something? You were in your...
14 years at that point.
That's crazy to me. That's
So, but that's, that, I mean,
God, that must have been so heartbreaking. That would have hurt my feelings.
it was awful. Like I have enough distance from it now that it's all right. But it wasn't just awful for me. It was awful for my wife and my kids. Like, you know, my youngest daughter was not even born when I joined the band. Like, you know, so her whole life, she knew these people. Like, our kids grew up together. Our wives were super close. And it wasn't me that got cut off. Everybody was just gone overnight. And so it was super, super, it sucked. So, you know, I gave it a month and tried to like sort through my feelings on it, but finally just decided that, you know, I'm not just going to wander away here or go hide in the corner. So wrote up a statement to put out, mostly just to let people know why I wouldn't be there. I mean, they had a tour coming up. They had a show in Nashville that got booked. I've got people here hitting me up for tickets to these shows that I know I'm not going to be at. So wrote up a statement because I don't want to have this conversation 500 different times every time somebody calls for tickets. Go, yeah, I'm not there. I won't be there. Oh, why? Oh, I got to go through it again. It was painful. So it's like
14 years of contacts. Yeah, that's nuts. So that's a lot of years of like seeing you and stuff and talking to you when you're in their town probably and stuff. That's crazy.
Yeah. So it was, you know, I just figured I'll say what I need to say. I'll, you know, get it out there, let people know what's going on for me. But mostly my wife and I were trying to show, you know, we got two daughters who were teenagers at the time. And when your kids are teenagers, like they stop listening to you, right? You can't really get through to them with your words, but they pay attention. They watch, they see what you're doing. They watch your actions. And I knew that if I didn't show them like how important this was to have a stand here for not just my health, but for, you know, personal sovereignty of everybody having control of their own bodies and what they put into it. And, you know, I wanted them to understand that there's no job or opportunity or payday or anything that's worth giving up that aspect of yourself. And that, you know, once you give these rights away, it's so hard to get them back. And so for
me, the freedom to make a decision, like,
yeah. And that was my thing. I wasn't telling anybody what to do. I didn't tell anyone not to take it. However anybody needed to navigate that time, we were all put in an impossible position. And so for me, it was just really important to, you know, stand up and say like, hey, I don't think this is right. Like if I'm getting leaned on in this business, then people under, you know, crew guys are getting it way worse than me. Everyone's getting leaned on, and it's not right. You can't just tell everybody you've got to do this or you can't work. And, you know, they went back, you know, replaced me, went back out on the road. I'm getting hit up online by every band on the planet now who's playing shows and festivals with them. And all these people are going, hey, we're not vaccinated. We're on this festival today with your band. Why are you not here? This is stupid. I'm like, yeah, I know it's stupid.
Wow.
You know, but yeah.
So they were still hanging out with people who weren't vaccinated, though.
Yeah. It's, you know, and obviously it was floated. Oh, you know, we can get you a fake card or whatever. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. If I'm hiding, now I lose my voice. Now I can't speak. And now when there's other things going on that I don't agree with, now I've already given my voice away. So it was much more important for me to be able to hold on to my voice and say what I needed to say and let it go how it went, and kind of expected a firing squad when I put the statement up, and was super shocked that got all, you know, 95% wave of support from around the world of all these people going, oh my God, thank you for saying something. I feel the same way. I thought I was the only one. And then we realize we're all, anybody that didn't want to do this was made to feel like you're a weirdo, you're an outcast,
people were being gaslit. We were being like gaslit on a national level.
A worldwide level. And that was the other thing. I'm like, when in the history of, and not in my lifetime, has every world government been on the same page at the same time every day? Right. You know, the day that the new talking point was that it was a pandemic of the unvaccinated, that spread around the world in a couple of hours. Every world leader was out there spouting the same thing. And you're just like, come on.
I mean, there's so many patterns that it's just so obvious that it's like, I don't know how people can believe any of it, honestly. Like, there's just some
and to add what you're saying about the leaders too, like all on the same page. That's I thought that too. And then you see like the medical institution that like bankrupts people for having cancer, like wants to give you free stuff. And I'm just like, oh, now you have a soul. You mean I'm like now you have a soul. You know, that's how I. Yeah. And then like what I like about you in particular, Pete, is that you're not like, you don't sound crazy. You know what I mean? Because a lot of these guys don't know how to articulate themselves well because they're saying similar things, but they make the truth seem unreasonable or crazy because of how their tonality and stuff and their inflection and voice and stuff. And you're just like kind of like you seem like an intelligent, well-spoken person and like somebody who had a lot to lose from this situation too. You're not just somebody trying to keep your job at Arby's, you know? And not to downplay Arby's, I love Arby's, but I'm saying like But I was saying, like, I think, like, it's important that guys like you, like speak out in an intelligent, articulate way, too, about that. And I appreciate what you did, to be honest, man. I really do. And thank you for your sacrifice in that regard. You know, I mean, you were at your dreams, you know what I mean, that some people will never even obtain. Like, when you were at that point, and then you still, like, I mean, you didn't bullshit them with a fake card. You didn't do any of that. And was, have you talked to the band since at all?
No. No. They won't talk to you. I mean, I've not heard anything from them, and Yeah, my door is always open. Like, you know, we were tight for a long time. We were tight up until a couple days before everything went to hell, you know? So for me, obviously I would never go back there. I don't have any interest in it. Like, you know, when you get distance from something, you realize like, oh, wow, yeah, there really wasn't any of me in that gig. I just kind of followed the script and whatever. And that's fine. That's sometimes what gigs are all about and what they call for. And, you know, I was paid really well for it. My family was well taken care of. You know, it was not the decision to, you know, not do this wasn't made lightly. You know, it was the right thing for me personally and for my own health and for my family. And, you know, people get caught up in the idea of dream jobs and stuff. And, you know, I had a handful of guys online yelling at me going, you had my dream job and you just, you know, trashed it or whatever. And it's like, that might have been your dream job. It wasn't my dream job. I didn't know that much about that band. You know, I didn't grow up on punk
rock. So the universe took you out of that situation.
Yeah. You know, it was like, cool, I wasn't supposed to be here anymore.
Like, you deserve something better.
Yeah, certainly was time to do something different, but it was brutal in the early stages because it was like, okay, well, now I'm, you know, canceled. I'm out of this job. Is anyone going to hire me in this industry? Because anybody who spoke up was, you know, you were slapped around or made an example of, or, you know, they tried to make you out as the crazy person, right? Who won't just get in line and do the other thing and stop asking all these questions about stuff. Just trust us. It's great. But, you know, I had a hard time with people that were like, you know, how can you not trust that? You know, they said it's safe and effective. I was like, the same people that make this drug make opioids, like, you know, all these other drugs that we're still having problems with. They don't go into work in the building and all the bad people go down the hallway to the left to make the opioids, but all the good people go over here to make the COVID vaccines. Like, it's the same bullshit. So, you know, for me,
they gave us that with knowing how addictive it was.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't like, oh, we didn't realize, like, no, they did that on purpose. Like,
yeah, well, did you guys watch the movie Dope Sick that came out a few years ago
with Michael Keaton? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So my wife and I are watching that, and they get to the point where, you know, they keep upping the doses, and they're like, well, these people are still having pain. And they're like, oh, well, we'll just call it breakthrough pain. And I was like, that was right at the same time that when vaccinated people were catching COVID in droves, then they started saying, oh, those are just breakthrough cases. I'm like, holy shit. They just same playbook and the same vernacular and they slap it on everything and go, ah, just run the same play. It's fine. Don't worry about it. And
it's like one big mind game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, we're being MK Ultra, like, you know?
Yeah, but if you didn't go along with it, you were made to feel crazy. You were gaslit.
That was part of the mind control, was like manipulating us with gaslighting. I mean, that's what narcissists do to people. They'll like
fuck
with their head, make them question their own reality so that they don't really know what the fuck's going on, you know? Yeah. And then they could kind of be like, oh, no, you don't remember he was this. Like, and you're like,
Well, and fear is a hell of a motivator. You know, I don't like it. I don't ascribe to, you know, fear as a way to motivate your kids or your coworkers or anything. But, you know, it worked. Oh, if you scare everybody that if you leave your home, you're all going to die, you know, then that's, people get into that loop. And that was the hard thing for the music industry to bust out of. But even at the time after I was replaced, you know, then I was like a lighthouse for the industry. So anybody else who wasn't vaccinated or on fake cards or whatever, all these people are writing to me and they're telling me their stories. I'm like, oh my God, I wish I could say something, but I don't want to cost me anything.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, but it's going to cost you eventually. Like, where's your line? But one of the, my favorite things was, there was a friend of mine was on one of the big, huge tours that was going out that fall of 21. And it was like, he sent me the backstage protocols for the tour, which looked like an old phone book. There were so many rules. And basically, the tour itself was in a bubble. You will interact with nobody outside of the tour, no guests, no anything else, right? Inside that bubble, each band on the tour has their own bubble. Each band bubble will not interact with the other bands. Now inside your band bubble, now we're down to stage left and stage right. And you'll move through the backstage and the temperature checks all together with these people. And I was like, reading this thing and looking, like, this looks like prison, because I think what people don't understand is it's already really hard to be on tour. Like, you're away from home all the time and you're not seeing a lot of these cities that you're traveling through. Like, you're there for a few hours, you play your show, And I think a lot of people are like, no, it's one big party and stuff. But I, for me, over the years of watching all of these things happen, I realized like people aren't drinking and having drug problems on tour because it's a party. They're doing it because it's
right.
Cope. You know, you're coping with, right. I was just on stage in front of 20,000 people 40 minutes ago, and now I'm sitting in a hotel room all by myself, but I'm still wound up and I can't sleep, but I got to sleep. And, you know, it just starts a cycle of it gets really lonely out there. So now they're telling all these people, well, you only get to interact with three other people on this entire tour because that's your bubble that you get to move around with. And,
right.
You know, so, but they're projecting, oh, well, look at all these protocols we have in place. We are so safe. We're so great. So the tour goes out. And what happens when crew people start getting COVID? Are they put up in a hotel for 2 weeks to quarantine and stuff? No, they're putting sick people on airplanes and they're sending them home. Like they don't want it to cost them anything. They'll bring somebody else out, but they're just sending people home. And so, you know, all these stories are pouring into me and everybody's like, oh my God, do you know about this? You should say something about this. And I'm like, this stuff isn't my business. Like I only speak from my own experience. You know, my former band all got COVID. Everyone, it was the worst kept secret in rock and roll. Everyone kept writing to me and I was like, it's none of my business. You know, everyone's going to get this. I'm not surprised by this. I wasn't there to blame, but you know, they all
did these people not want to speak up like publicly? They just wanted to talk to you and let you know, like,
they
were afraid to speak up publicly.
Yeah, because who else can they talk to? You know, so it's like I'm out there like
a page of like anonymous like stories or something. You know,
yeah,
like I have actual people's stories, but then have them all be anonymous.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. I'm mostly just kind of a listening board and a sounding board. You know, I like collecting the information. It was interesting and fascinating to hear all these things. But you know, I keep everybody's secrets. That's not my business. Or everyone's gonna. Got to navigate this for themselves, however they see fit.
Yeah, sure.
And, but it was fascinating to get all the behind the scenes of what was really going on. You know, even these tours out there, just we're so benevolent and perfect and great. And they're just putting sick people on planes and sending them home. It was, you know, it was
that's
all
so sad. Mm-hmm. That's really sad. Honestly, like it's become like, I mean, I feel like the entertainment industry in general has already kind of like, overworks people and like they don't really make as much as they should and they get fucked over all the time signing contracts to these fucking, you know, management or agencies and shit. And it's like to add that on top of all this other bullshit that they're, like you said, being alone. And I could definitely see that. I feel like there's got to be like when you hit a certain level of fame, I would imagine that there would be a disconnect with just like other people in general because you're like, no one really even understands like what this is like or like really like, you know, or like people just don't treat you like a person. They treat you like they put you on this like weird pedestal and you're like, can you just treat me like a normal fucking person? Like what the fuck is going on? And you're like,
it's hard. I mean, obviously I've been in this business a long time. I know lots of very rich and famous people and I wouldn't describe more than a handful of them as actually happy. It's tough to have, like your privacy ripped from you. Like people, you get into this with the best intentions and you're like, oh, this is going to be so great to be famous. And it's like, these people can't go to the grocery store. Like they can't just go somewhere normal. And so it's never what you think it's going to be. And that's what I said about dream jobs and stuff. Like nobody's ever really in their dream job. You try hope to get something that works for you and that feels right for you and your family and your life. But, you know, I think it's pretty few and far between the of people that are like, this is my dream job and every day is a blessing and it's awesome. Like it's hard. Like if you joined a band to avoid office politics, hold on to your fucking hat because it's all office politics. You're just in a different office. But you know, anything in a group setting is difficult, and you know, being in like a band is more different.
I feel like I have like my quote unquote dream job, but I feel like I was stupid for wanting a dream job instead of just a dream. He's like apparently my dream was to like work. You know what I mean? Like that was the flaw in the dream job concept to me. Is that like, I should have said a job like my dream is just to not work. It should have been, you know. But
I like that.
But also, I had a question. You know how like around the 90s was like advertising for the privatized prison system? That's why they pushed like drugs and crime and all that. Do you think the guy, I mean, I don't know if you know this or your opinion or whatever. I'm not trying to make you say this thing, but I'm saying, like, do you think the Offspring was paid by Pfizer to pitch the vaccine? Because I was reading a lot of the stuff they're saying, and it just seemed like really weird, like, lines of thinking. Like I went to school for this, but so I should understand. So I'm like, if you had an understanding of this, you would describe it rather than use credentialism. I feel like I feel like credentialism is a sales tactic, is what I'm trying to say. And in short, the question I guess I'm asking is, like, do you think that's like marketing from the pharmaceutical company, like a band like them and other bands that are pushing this heavily, and how they change the lyrics in their song to better get vaccinated and stuff like that? I'm like, you know.
Yeah, I don't like to speculate about whatever they did, but I know a lot of bands in the industry, a lot of artists, actors, tons of people took money. I mean, there was a big COVID slush fund that got paid out for people to promote the vaccines. I mean, James Corden wrote a whole fucking musical on in his show about, oh my God, life is so wonderful with the vaccine. You got Colbert out there with dancing syringes, you know, there was a mandate from the top down of, hey, we're all going to push this thing, and this is the only way forward. There are no alternatives. There's no, you know, drugs like ivermectin got, you know, railroaded, even though now they just won a court case this week where the FDA had to admit that all the propaganda they pushed was wrong. But at the time it was like, oh, it's horse goo. You can't take it. You're a lunatic if you do. But the reason they had to shut all that down was, you know, the vaccines were only out under an emergency use authorization. And you can only have an emergency use authorization if there are no other feasible treatments. So the only way these vaccines were allowed to be rolled out and exist was they had to constantly say there were no other options. This is an emergency, and this is the only thing that'll work, even though now, you know, it's clear that there's lots of treatments that can work, you know, ivermectin and you know, things like that. So,
well, even just getting it, they were saying was more effective. It keeping it, like, it not coming back, more effective than the vaccine was.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah, just, I mean, being exposed to it. Like,
yeah, when I was a kid, if someone got chicken pox, the other parents sent the kids over to play with them, because it's like, hey, get your chicken pox, get it out of the way. Now you don't need it. Now they have a vaccine for that. Yeah. You know, it's like, we're going to create some kind of therapeutic for all these conditions. But I don't think, if you look over the last 50 years of all these medical advancements, we're not healthier than we were. Certainly in America, and, you know, America and New Zealand are the only two countries in the world that allow pharmaceutical companies to advertise on television.
Yeah.
And
that's true.
You know, and we consume more drugs here in this country than anywhere else in the world combined, pretty much, you know? So it's hard to look at a system like that and go, you know, I don't feel good about it. And it sure seems like there's a benefit to the system to keep everyone.
Yeah, there's an ulterior motive for sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, our health system has become more about treatment instead of actually curing people. I'm like, honestly, I feel like they probably have a cure for cancer, and they're just making so much money off of chemo that, like, it just makes more sense. Because if they cured everyone, then they're not going to make money at the end of the day. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's the thing, you know, they have what they call standard of care now. So if you get cancer or whatever, then they just steer you down that road of chemotherapy and radiation. And, you know, insurance isn't going to cover anything but standard of care. And so people are afraid to try anything else. And there's so much we can do just with our own lifestyles and our diet, what we put in our bodies, just being a little bit more conscious on that, getting out in the sun, getting some exercise. Like, there's so many ways for free that we can take care of ourselves, but instead there's a pill for everything, and, you know, go get that, and that one's probably going to cause a couple other problems for you, so here's two or three more to take care of those problems. And then now you're down that road. But I mean, we just in the last year found out so much about, you know, all the antidepressant drugs that have been overprescribed for decades now, and come to finally companies admitting, they didn't really do anything. Actually, they've caused all kinds of horrible problems for people, and they're very difficult to wean off of.
We're not just that, but I always remember seeing that, like, suicidal thoughts or tendencies was like somehow attached to the antidepressant med. And whenever I would hear that on the TV or an ad, it would, like, you know how I would say it really fast at the end with all the other side effects. Yes. And I'm like, suicidal thought? Like, what the fuck? Like, did I just hear that correctly? It's like, you're being set up to fail.
Yeah, but they say it in the nicest, gentlest voice, like, oh, common side effects are, you know, death, suicidal thoughts, fatal heart attack.
Forgetting your name, running into oncoming traffic, like
yeah, explosive diarrhea, collapsed lung, you know. Ask your doctor if this is right for you. Like, none of that sounds right for me.
Yeah. Or it's worse than what it is you're trying to treat. Like,
yeah.
Dude, in high school in video production class, I was like 16. I made like a cold medicine thing, like went off that. What are you guys just saying? Like where like the symptoms were worse than the actual thing you're taking it for. I remember being like 16 years old seeing that, just being like, I never understood how adults didn't see that when I was a kid. I can always tell when I'm being lied to. I just don't know the truth. You know what I mean? I don't magically know the truth, but I can tell when I'm being lied to. And I think the world's you know. I remember like watching the president, like President Trump's like, you want to be in a room of like 20 or more people when he's like at a press conference with like 20 people on stage with him. I'm just like, you don't even believe your bullshit. You know what I mean? Like these people don't even, I don't know, man. I always tell them I'm being lied to. And like I'm not over it, you know. It was 4 years ago and I'm still not over it. You know, it's like I want public apologies, you know. I want these people, I want Fauci, you know, coming out and be like, okay, I tried to kill you guys, you know. I'm sorry, I tried to kill you guys.
Well, that's where I'm at with it too. You know, I'm still talking about this stuff and people are like, oh my God, it's over. Move on already. And I was like, cool for you. It's over. I'm glad that your life wasn't turned upside down and destroyed by all of this.
Right,
but I'd like us to not do this again. And if everyone just acts like it was no big deal and we memory hole all the bullshit that everyone went along with, you know, they're going to be able to do it again next time. And I would like to avoid
it's
the
like
same
being in an abusive relationship. And they they hit you and then you're like, oh, it wasn't that big of a deal. Like I was being really loud and like, it's fine. We'll be fine. And it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You're just delusionally ignoring the truth, you know, like.
Yeah. Or when the narrative shifted about a year ago and then you got, you know, newspapers and magazines writing articles like, oh, it's time for a COVID amnesty. We all said things that we regret through all of this. And I was like, I didn't, I'll let it go when there's some accountability. That's my line.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But if you're just going to go, let's all just move on. That got weird. Okay. You know, then no, because it's just
that was so long ago. I don't barely even remember.
Yeah. Get over it. Your life is ruined. Who cares? It's like, okay, great.
Move on already.
I couldn't believe how many people, one, believed it, or two, just went with it and pretended they believed it. Either way, it was like, it was really weird.
I don't know which one's worse.
Yeah. No, I mean, really, though. Yeah. It's like, I mean, I read a lot about like Nazi Germany and stuff as a kid. And I I was obsessed with the History Channel and stuff. And it just looked like that to me. It looked like we're just like being depopulated. And like, I'm just supposed to, but I'm the Jewish person this time. I'm like, whoa. You know, I'm Anne Frank now. I'm like, oh no, dude. I'm like, you know, it was a weird cosplay, you know, that I just wasn't interested in, you know, it's like, it was a weird time. And I'm still,
ask a question like, hey, well, can you explain what's in this thing? It's like, oh God, what are you? You're a doctor now. Just take it already. Everyone's got to take it. And it's just like, when is that? Yeah, and now we're going off of scientific consensus.
It's like the most suspicious answer.
Well, and people were so nasty. Like the threats that people sent to me online, wishing for death for myself, my family.
Wow.
Like awful. Nuts. It was like, but then you click through to their profile, and it's all rainbows and tolerance, and let's all love each other. And I'm just like, you just wish for my demise. Yeah, but everybody was like, well, I'm tolerant and loving, just not of you. Like you're
just not of you or your beliefs or anything about you on a personal level.
It didn't even matter, you know. Then they tried to shift it to like, well, everyone's got to get it for the people who medically can't. And I'd be like, oh, cool, I'm one of those people. And it's like, no, fuck you too. We're talking about nameless, faceless people, not you. You don't count. And it's just like,
we're talking about everyone else, but you specifically.
Yeah. So it's like, so you mean absolutely nothing. It's just platitudes and horseshit. Okay, great. But I'm the crazy one here. Awesome.
Oh yeah, my God.
It's all projections. Yes. Like crazy.
Yeah.
I remember the same thing. Like people wish me death and stuff. So I was just sharing memes. I was like, you can't all just believe what television says, right? You know, I felt like I was like being pranked by the world. You know, it's just like a weird time.
Like, I know. You're just like, is this really happening?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have things. Well,
plus, I feel like,
I think people are way more tied up in the illusion of the world than I am too. Because I mean, they have like bills and all these things, and like they just have like they have like jobs that they need to do or whatever that they feel like they need to do. And I've seen like smart people tricked into it too. They just don't want to lose their like $200,000 to $400,000 a year job or something. They're like, no, I need to get paid. I got cars and I put a lot of stock.
That's how they got people.
Yeah, they threaten your livelihood, your family. Like, you know, I get it. I had so many people reach out to me going, man, I wish I did what you did. I got it to save my job. I don't feel good about it. I've had health problems, or a lot of people going,
wow,
I got my two and now they're pushing three and four. I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. I mean, now they're up to number nine. I'm like, they just approved the ninth shot 2 weeks ago. And then the New York governor is already talking about, well, this fall they're going to have the new formula and all the other ones won't matter anymore. You gotta get the new one. So it's just like, cool. So everything everyone has done is,
for anything.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe they went to nine. I stopped paying attention at three. I was like, people fell for three and they're at nine still. I'm like, that is insane. Yeah. We had a girl from Pfizer on here, like, just talk about how it wasn't even. We had people from their companies come on here and tell I just try to use credentialism the same way they use it. Like, oh, I went to school for this. I have a white coat. I'm like, okay, well, here's somebody that works for that company telling you not to do it. You know what I mean? Does this work? And it still didn't work. I mean, it's like this weird like trauma response. I noticed these people with unresolved trauma that fell for it. Like most music, in an inferior, you'll believe anything. It's like MK Ultra marketing. It's like, okay, you're so scared, you're more susceptible to lying.
The truth is scarier, I think. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't want to admit that we're being depopulated in several ways.
Yeah. I think some people can't really see like higher levels of truth like that.
They don't admit it because it's terrifying. Like to think that everyone wants to kill you and sterilize you. And that's my opinion. Right. I mean, I'm not telling you, that part's not proven yet, but that's my opinion. I think it's a sterilization and a mass depopulation tactic. But thank God it was made by Microsoft, so it didn't work,
You know, I thought something was sketch when I started to notice that they were like bribing people. They were like, oh, you'll get a $50 gift card to Dunkin' Donuts if you get a vaccine. And then I was kind of like, I mean, I was already suspicious as fuck. But then when I was like, why is the government trying to bribe me for my own good? Like, it just
lottery tickets, lap dances, the brothel over in Europe was like, come in, get vaccinated, and then have a fun time tonight here at the brothel. You know,
I'm from Missouri, so I appreciate people from like Nikki's from LA, and you're from like East Coast, and you're in the West Coast stuff. As a Missouri man, I'm happy other people see it in other places because we just think everybody's like if you ask people in Missouri, like not outside the cities, they just think you guys are nuts, man. They think everybody out in New York or LA is just completely nuts and like has like this, they all believe the propaganda. And like to me, it's
embarrassing. It's embarrassing
I like putting it out there that maybe, and especially on Rumble, I like seeing like the heavy conservatives, I like seeing that people can see that like everybody thinks. It's not just typecast by geography or whatever field we're in or anything like that. It's like there's smart people everywhere and there's dumb people everywhere and like there's victims everywhere. True. More importantly, everyone's a victim.
There's a lot of sheep. People just don't think for themselves. A lot of people don't think for themselves.
Yeah. Well, in California,
a lot of rock stars don't speak publicly on this or are fooled by it too. It's like I'll have a lot of them on and I won't even bring it up. Like, especially during 2020, I wouldn't even bring it up. I'm like, oh, what's your favorite color? You know, I'm just trying not to like argue with them. You know, it's like,
Well, New York and California people in general think that everywhere that anyone who doesn't live there is crazy for not living there. So like, you're already starting in the hole with them. But living in Tennessee in early 21, you know, I was back out in LA filming videos, doing photo shoots and stuff. I would go to LA and it was like a war zone. Nobody on the streets, people have five masks on, everybody's freaking out with a face shield. And then I come back home to Tennessee, everyone's partying, everybody's hanging out, like went back to their lives. And it was funny all over town. People would come into town because it's, you know, it's a party town. They come into Nashville and you see them come into the Nashville. What's up?
I've only drank heavily in Nashville. It's, I mean, maybe some tour stuff. It's all I've ever done in Nashville.
people would enter the bar with their mask on and see that everyone who lived here didn't have them. And it was like permission. Like people were like, oh, I don't have to do this here. And then it was like, oh, yeah, I don't have to do this anywhere. Yeah. But everyone was waiting for permission to live their lives in any semblance of what it looked like pre-COVID. And it was like, once you gave people permission, they actually were like, oh, okay. But we all got so ingrained into, well, I've got to do what we're told. This is the new thing today. Oh, now today we're wearing 5 masks. Oh, now we're going to put goggles on or, you know, it.
Dude, I would see people wearing goggles and masks and gloves walking outside alone.
Yeah, and driving
I'm like,
alone.
Bro, what's happening? Like, this is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It was like,
what's a dog?
Yes.
In St. Louis City, I saw like people with like trash bag hazmat suits and stuff. I'm like, this guy's not gonna outlive me. You know, it's like I was like, and I'm from the suburbs where like, and I go back to the suburbs and like they have like buffets open still. And like I'm eating at buffets with like my 80-something-year-old grandpa. I don't know how old he was at the time. But just showing, proving that whatever they're saying wasn't real no matter what it was. He's like, they're like, you'll die if you do this, you'll die if you do this. And everyone in Missouri outside of St. Louis, Kansas City, Springfield, and like some of the Branson or maybe like Columbia or something, but the rest of Missouri, nothing changed. Like they had the sign up maybe on the door. They maybe had the sign up, and I'm like, oh, you're gonna wear a mask? And they're like, oh no, dude, we just got that up.
We just gotta put the sign up. Yeah. That's how it was here. It was just kind of like go back to like live your life, you know. All right, Nick, you gotta tell me about the dog real quick.
Okay. Well, this is Boo Boo. She is the rescue.
Yay! So cute.
I got her. My sister found her in an alley in South Central like 2.5 years ago. And she was like, hey, I'm leaving town. Like, I found this dog. Can you watch the dog? And I'm like, yeah, of course. And I don't know. We fell in love.
Yep. Now she's yours. Oh, that's awesome.
But she really helped me out of a really dark place. Like, I used to be addicted to hard drugs, and like I was like in the depths of my like addiction, and I was just like so depressed and like just was having a hard time just getting out of bed and like going outside, eating like basic shit, you know. And like,
yeah,
once this dog came into my life, I had to kind of like go outside for the dog, you know, because it's like I wasn't gonna let the dog suffer because I hated myself. Like,
yeah, so, and the dog got you moving, you know? Yeah.
Honestly,
I mean, it's totally. How people heal. Like, I love the honest, like that. A lot of people are afraid to admit that stuff. I mean, life does get hard for people, and I like that you admitted that. Like, I think it's brave.
It does, especially during COVID. Fuck, I was like definitely in probably the darkest place. And you know, it's funny because like I was so recklessly like just, you know, not giving a fuck that I already thought the COVID shit was bullshit anyways. But I was like, what? I never fucking wore a mask. Ever. Like, and I would be out on the metro and I would be like one of the only people, like, and it was weird, but like I was hanging out with like definitely people who weren't giving a fuck, also on drugs, sharing drugs with other people, and I never got COVID. So like, I don't know, like I was like super uncareful. Like,
it's a Christmas miracle.
So I'm like, I don't know, like I don't even know if this shit's real, bro. Like, I don't fucking know. Maybe I was just lucky, but I mean, I definitely was lucky. But
Well, I'm glad that Boo Boo helped you out of that time. I mean, that's the thing. Like, pets are unconditional love. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like where else can you get that outside of your immediate family? You know, like that dog's gonna love you for the rest of her life. So that's awesome. I get excited about pets. We got five cats.
I feel like I'm a celebrity. I swear to God. I come home and she's so, it's like she throws on a parade. She starts spinning and doing these crazy tricks. And I'm like, oh my God, no one is ever this excited to see me. Like,
a friend of mine had a dog that every time he came home, she'd get so excited. She would just pee on the floor. And like, and he was like every day, like, damn it, Brittany. It was awesome though. She just loved him so much that she couldn't help it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're big pet people here. Did you?
I was as a kid, but it's like, I don't know. I have like weird things where like I know they die fast, so I like in 10 years, so I just won't get them the same way. I don't know. I used to play games with my grandma, and I don't play games anymore. It's like the same thing. It's like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, it's like, like I had great pets as a kid, but it just made me sad at the end of it. And I just try not to feel that sadness part of it. You know, it's like, so I skipped that, you know, but it was like, you know what I mean? It's like weird. I feel weird admitting that, but I feel like it's just like, yeah, I feel like their lives aren't as long as mine. Maybe when I'm like 70, I'll get one, you know, like once we're hopefully I can die first, you know.
Oh, you mean like you'll be sad when the animal passes? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no, it's a hard thing. It's like, I think it was hard. Like, I mean, all my
yeah. It's brutal. Yeah.
Yeah, all my childhood pets.
It's like a family member, you know? Mm-hmm.
It is. Yeah, and for us especially, my first cat was almost 20 when he passed, and like he had been through so much of my life with me that it was like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I had him before I met my wife, before I had kids, and they all got to meet him, and like he was there for both yeah. of my parents' deaths, and it was just like when he died, it was like, oh my God, how am I going to get past yeah. this? But you know, you for me, I try to enjoy like every day with them is so much fun and so enjoyable, and that it's like when they go, it's hard, but it's, you know, it's also beautiful and peaceful that it's like that you got that time and you got to give them a great life. Like, you know, that they had a great time with you. And so it's, but it is hard. It's brutal. It is like losing a family member, you know, when people don't understand like, oh, your dog died, whatever. It's like, no, my family member died. Like it's hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I was more sad when some of my pets have died than I have been for family members to die.
Oh,
sometimes, right?
The pets aren't pets aren't judging you.
Exactly.
I'm just like so confrontational that I feel like at times whenever I'm like in a moment like that, like I remember the vet just being like trying to, like, my mom technically owned the cats and stuff. And they're like, we gotta put this cat to sleep and it's like underweight. I'm like, you're underweight. Should we kill you? That's insane. And he's just like, and they just like, you know what I mean? Like, that's an insane argument just to murder. You pick when it dies. I'm like, what? It's just like, it's just, yeah. I don't know. To me, that's insane. I mean, twist your own. I'm not trying to, like, people love murdering their pets and calling it go to sleep, whatever. But it's just not my style. And I'm like, I watched that happen. And like, I'm just like watching this happen. I'm like, what? Like, you just kill it when it gets sick? You know what I mean? Just like, I remember just being like a kid and like, I'm so, and I can't just like, I almost, it's like weird. I try to take him and leave. And so I just like, I'm like, I can't just not, like, I can't just like watch someone do evil things. It's like, you know what I mean? It's just like,
yeah,
it's crazy to me, man. It's like,
yeah, it's
and it's so sad because there's so many around. Like dogs and cats in the pound and stuff that just get put to sleep all the time because there's not enough homes. And it's hard. I used to volunteer at an animal shelter and it was really depressing, honestly. Like it was hard. Like
my daughter and I volunteer at the cat shelter here because we are addicted to cats. Like we have five already. And so we go there once a week to play with the cats and love on them and not bring any of them home. Like it's like our own little like immersion therapy of like, no, we can't have all the cats. We want all the cats. So we always say to them like, oh, I love you. I'm glad I got to meet you. And I hope you get your home and I never see you again. You know, we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
I hope you're not here because you're enjoying your new couch, you know. But
I liked it a lot. Even my mom's like in a hospital right now. And like, it's so hard for me not to argue with the nurses. Like, it's just like, I'm like, I feel like I want to save everyone and everything more than people whose job it is. Like you mean it just makes no sense. I'm like, everyone's just trying to sell people stuff. I mean, I'm like, oh, you think the solution's selling her stuff? I mean, it's just like it's just nuts to me. And it's like, I don't know. I feel like everyone makes me feel like I'm the wrong person or something. When I'm just like, man, I just want to. I don't know. It's a hard thing.
Yeah, but no one's going to advocate for your mom like you do. You know, and that's good. Like you should be in there fighting for her to get what she wants and make sure that. It's the right stuff. You know, I had a family member in the hospital years ago, and I remember watching the nurses come in and you know, would change the medication, whatever. And they had a barcode on their wrist and they were just like scanning my family member's wrist. And it was just like going on their bill, like, oh, here's your round of painkillers and here's this. And it was just like you were scanning your groceries out at the store. It was so bizarre.
Yeah. Like a product, not even there. It's very dehumanizing working with like anytime I've gone to the hospital, especially from just being in a drug addiction, like there's something so dehumanizing and detached from them where it's like they don't experience a certain level of empathy from maybe just being like, you know, jaded from seeing so much crazy shit that it's like they do start treating you like you're just a product that they're making money off of. There's no like emotions or like I don't know. Yeah, it's really weird.
I try to hold that it's probably hard for them to see all these people and lose patience and stuff. Yeah, and they got to keep some kind of distance there. But yeah, to me, I'm like, you got to have some kind of bedside manner here, doc. Like, throw me a bone.
Yeah.
Like, give me something. Let's not just be surgically clinical and walk away. Yeah.
Line up arguing
them all the time. It's unsettling.
They try to tell me I'm wrong. I'm just like, enjoy your sales. I'm sorry I got in your way of your sell. But you know, I'm not trying to get in your way of your business, but that's a person. You know what I mean? It's just like, that's a soul in there. You know, it's like, it's crazy to me. And I'm not trying to knock. He's like, here's the thing. About 10% of the medical institutions are straight miracles. Like, these people are the doctors, and some of these people are just miracle workers and they're amazing. But then the 90% of them are obese and they're just selling drugs and they don't know anything about health, and it's just irritating. It's like a person, like, I don't know, they're like literally 300 plus pounds, and be like, here's what you do to be healthy. And I'm like, how would you know? You know what I mean? I'm just like, I just get like amped about it. And if it wasn't my mom, I'd be more respectful. But it's like, that's like the only person that really ever had my back, you know? And I'm like, I'm trying my hardest to everybody. It's like, I don't know what to do. No one listens to me, you know? I'll be outnumbered by nurses. Like, three of them tell me I'm wrong. And I'm like, I've been that kid since I was 16. I go, just because there's more of you doesn't mean you're right. You know what I mean? I'm just like,
just because there's three of you yelling doesn't mean I'm going to do what you want. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. It's I'll always fight for it. I believe it's right. You know, I'll always, I don't mean that in a violent way. I just mean that in like a moral way. I don't believe in violence. I don't believe in any of that stuff. I'm saying like in a moral way, I think like, I don't know.
Yeah. You're going to advocate for what's best. Cause that's your mom. You know, moms are special.
Yeah.
And I'd probably do it for a complete stranger, to be honest with you. But I also would do it more for my mom, obviously. But I'm just like, I mean, I just met you today, Pete, and if you're in the same situation, I'd do it for you. I mean, I feel like I'd advocate for anybody that's being robbed or done wrong or whatever, you know? And then it's just like, I just don't like that aspect. You know, it's like, it's like that punch up attitude. You know, you don't pick on people littler than you. You don't do stuff like that. You always stick up. You know what I mean? It's like, that's what you do. That's
always stick up for the underdog. For sure.
Well, that's how we should be though. That's what we've lost the last 4 years as community. Like, we don't take care of people. We don't look into it. Like, look at the three of us are three strangers who've been talking for an hour, and we would be like, absolutely, I would show up for either one of you and advocate. It's like, no, you're good people, and you show up for people.
Just the right thing to do.
Your best to help. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what's crazy is, like, even to my own worst enemies, like, I still wouldn't wish ill upon them. I would wish, like, you know what I mean? Like, no matter how much anger I had towards someone, like, if I saw them being wrong, I would still go out of my way to stick up for them. And I haven't. It's hard to, like, kind of comprehend when people are so narcissistically, like, selfishly driven that they, like, kind of lose sense of, like, what it means to even just be a person, like, a decent human being, you know?
Yeah. Well, and we've been told the last 8 years now to cut people out of your life that disagree with you on politics or medicine or anything. And I'm like, we used to have the rule of, well, don't talk religion and politics in polite society. Okay, fine. And now it's like, well, if you don't agree with me on these 100 things, we're done here. And I don't understand that, especially if you're, yelling at someone because they voted this way and you voted that way. It was like, neither one of the people you voted for honestly gives a shit about you. And this person is someone you actually know in your life. You're gonna cut them out over someone who just wants your vote.
Someone you don't even know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just like, when did we turn into that? Like, let's get back to community. Let's get back to taking care of each other, you know?
That's a great
It's definitely a lot of social conditioning going on. And dividing and conquer is really what it is.
Absolutely.
Definitely dividing and conquer. I mean, I think we all need each other more than ever. I think the way the world's going and stuff. And I think, like, there's several huge threats to the world, I think. You know, I mean, the millionaires are building bunkers for a reason. You know, they're terrified. And everybody feels that vibration, man. Everybody feels that, like, something's wrong. It's not right. How do we fix it? And then, like, you know, and it's like, we're just being shut up in these subcategories of people, you know, And that's the thing too. It's like even the idea of, like, diversity is crazy to me, because, like, we're all one race, the human race. So how is there diversity? Because we're all the same animal. We're all the same animal. You know, it makes no sense. It's like, I like all subgenres of human beings. I'm like, you think there's subgenres of human beings? You mean it's just like crazy to me. You know what I mean? It's like I like every single, like, human being. I'm like, you have to say that? You mean you have to tell people that you like all human beings? I'm like, isn't that just
a qualifier?
Yeah. That's just the natural state of being alive. You know what I mean? It's just like crazy to me.
It's like the old Chris Rock sketch. Like, I take care of my kids. You're supposed to take care of your kids. Like, that's not something to brag about. Like, that's being a decent parent. Yeah. Like, just be
nice. It's always people don't say it. It's always the people not taking care of their kids that say they do it. You know, it's just like.
Yeah, right. They have something to prove.
Right, and now we're back to projection.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Like, sometimes on Saturdays, I don't get blackout drunk and I pick up my kids. You know, like, that's like how they sound, like, in my 20s at least. That's how
I want a medal. Yeah, they want a medal for it.
where's my trophy? I did the bare minimum.
Where's my participation trophy?
This is like a controversial take to a lot of people, but probably not you guys. But I always see the person who lived like I lost 40 pounds. I'm like, so you're at the ground floor? You mean, I'm like, good job. You know, it's like, you mean, not to be rude. And it is a thing. I get that it is a thing to not be depressed and get better. And same thing with like drug users. Like I've been sober for 10 years. I'm like, okay, well, that's the ground floor. You're like, you mean you're not robbing people today? Good job. You know, it's like, I mean, here's the thing. I get they come from pain. I see both sides. I see they come from a lot of pain. They're no longer in pain, whatever. And no offense to anybody with real struggles. I'm a pampered moron. You mean, I'll admit that. But I think that, like, I just don't think going to the ground floor is an accomplishment. And I think that, like, it puts you in the game. And I think that, like, you should have accomplishments.
It's a bare minimum.
Yeah.
It's like wanting to be, like, praised for doing the bare minimum.
Yeah, it's like, I'm no longer morbidly obese.
I'm just being a human. But, I mean, there's different levels of it because, I think mental illness can also play a part in a lot of that, too.
Depression and stuff. And I know it's a struggle. People are dealing with trauma they can't handle. And I get the outlying situation. What I'm saying, it's a generalization. It's a generalization that's not an accomplishment, but I see the outlying situation. So, and that's kind of, people get mad. They're like, well, my mom lost 20 pounds. Like, my dad was an alcoholic. I mean, like, I'm like, that's terrible. But like, it's not an accomplishment. You know, it's like, I don't know. And that's controversial take to some people who just like being rewarded for everything. You know what I mean? They're like being rewarded for existing. They're like, I existed today.
There's definitely like an imbalance going on where what we prioritize or what we think is better to be like, praised for, you know, it's like
we get wrapped up into making certain things part of our identity. So if your entirety of your being is that you lost weight or your entirety of your being is your sobriety, like there's more to people than that. There's more to everybody than that. So I think we're more interesting than the one thing that we like to champion as, you know, that's not the entirety of who we are. And I understand what you're saying. Like it's frustrating to be like, you know, to just focus on that one thing when everybody has more to offer than that.
You put that like a poem, bro. You put that like poetry, bro. That is literally like that. That was so much nicer than I said that. And that is so true. We're so deep as people, man. We're not just surface level beings, like speaking in memes and copy pasted thoughts. We have our own thoughts and we exist, you know, like, you know, and these people everyone just forgets that. They just want to be accepted and they fear themselves. I mean, they're like, I hope I don't want to be myself because I'll be judged for who I really am. But I mean, that's more beautiful than pretending to be something else. You know, it's like, I'd rather be, you know, I mean, I'd rather be like somebody just be like, I don't like how you are. I'm like, I don't even care. I mean, I don't even care what I think. You
know? Well, that's the freeing. The freeing part of, you know, even the situation like what I went through where, you know, you're canceled or whatever from your industry or, you know, you lost a bunch of friends. It's like, I think a lot of people are afraid of that and you don't understand the freedom that comes along with it. Cause it's like, once you're canceled, it's like, oh, you can't cancel me twice. Like, so I don't have to care what you think anymore, but also, you know, there's an ego death that comes along with it of like, oh, well, I'm this guy that played in this big band. And if I'm not that anymore, then what am I? And it's like, oh no, I'm a million different things. And kind of, for me, it was a sort of rebirth of number one, remembering why I enjoyed playing music in the first place and how far away from that enjoyment I had gotten, even on a job where someone else would consider it their dream job, you know, to realize that to get back to the bare basics of creating things and, you know, making new music and stuff and realizing, oh, I don't need anybody's permission. And I don't have to be this, you know, the ego identity of the guy in that band. Now I can start fresh. I can be whoever I want. Like there's a lot of freedom in that. And like you said, like, I don't care if you don't like me. Like, yeah, it's not everyone's going to like you. And the faster you can make your peace with that, the better off you're going to be through your life. You know, we spend a lot of time worrying what everyone else thinks about us. And it's like, buddy, no one's thinking about you, you know, like,
right. Just go thinking about themselves. Today.
Yeah.
That's the real thing. That's the real thing.
Yeah.
It's like a Bukowski quote. It's like 5% of people hate you no matter what, 5% will love you no matter what, 90% won't care. And it's like, that's it's weird. Like, I feel more liked when I don't care about it than when I tried really hard. I remember in high school and stuff, it was like, I better wear the clothes, the haircut thing, I better do the things, you know, or whatever is required of me in this like copy paste society. And then, I haven't done any of that in years. I've given up on all of that. And being authentic is higher than love. I think authenticity is a higher frequency than love. And I think that's what the draw is in conversation or whatever. It's like, and I love just pushing my good mood on people too. I used to do the opposite. I used to just go around and mess with people and insult them because I thought it was funny. And it wasn't in time and place. It used to be funny, but now it's not. Yeah. And I love going into a place and just like shining on these people, you know, just like, just being like they'll be down themselves. Like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, you did nothing. You handed me amazing food. You literally, I sat at a table while you handed me amazing food. Why are you apologizing ever? It was like servers will apologize all the time to me. They're like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm like, you just brought me a blackened ribeye. What are you talking about? That just happened in my house. It's like, I'm about to move in here. You know, I just love shining on all these people. That just like, I mean, I think everybody's so beaten down, myself in a lot of ways too. I'm not trying to love it. I'm just saying, I think there's several things I could pick apart of myself, but I see society and why everyone's just so beaten down right now. Like, and it's just like, I want to pull them out. This is just an illusion, right? Our souls forever. And this is just an illusion. Yeah. This is like soul school and you're wasting it. You know, I mean, we beg to be here probably, you know, it's like,
yeah, well, when we're swept up into competition, like everyone's on social media putting this fake image of themselves out there. And I think that there's a real hunger for someone that's genuine, for people that are like not afraid to just say what they think and stand behind it and be matter of fact about it. Like, you know, anytime I meet somebody like the two of you that are genuine people and just having a good conversation and, you know, listening and not having an agenda, not trying to poke holes or see where somebody's wrong, and we can just have a good discussion. I think there's a real hunger for that. You know, when people get offline and go out in the world and actually talk to people, you find out how much more we have in common with each other. But if you just live on the internet, we're told to be divided and pick your side and stay over here and check all the boxes and, you know, don't get kicked out of the club. You don't want to be in the bad guy club over there. And, you know, the more that we can interact with people from a genuine, honest place, I mean, that's, to me, that's what life is about. That's what we're here for. And everything else is just noise.
Dude, you're right. I fell for the divide too. I mean, I'm from Missouri. I mean, I'm a rebellious person. I was just like, I ran for office, Republican and stuff. Everybody got mad at me and stuff. I'm just a rebellious person by nature, you know? And I think that then I realized that both sides are ridiculous and thought by the same lobbyists. And I'm a fool as well. You mean, I'm a different brand fool. You know, that's how I felt. I'm like, oh man, I'm the red colored fool, you know? And I just like realized that we're all just being manipulated and lied to. And I'm like, this is, we're so much bigger than the subgenre category that they try to put me in, you know what I mean, or whatever confines they try to put me in. And I even think that in this building, I mean, it says like all gender bathroom. I'm like, couldn't you just write restroom? You mean it's like you have to clarify that like every person could use this? Like what the isn't that just implied by the word restroom? It's just like it's like redundancy, like there's like polite fascism, you know?
And it's just polite like fascism.
It's like what it seems like. It's just because you talk. Like you guys live in LA a lot. LA is the master of polite fascism. Like they think just because they talk to you in a nice tone and positive words that they're good people. It's like crazy to me. Like there's like, well, hello, sir. They'll be walking you to the death chamber, calling you sir. You know, like, well, come on, sir. Like yeah, it's a great day outside. So they'll be walking you to the gas chamber doing that in LA.
Just gonna walk over here.
Yeah, and they think just because they use tonality and in positive word association that they're somehow like nice and good people. It's just like bizarre. I mean, I think that's part of being kind. I think talking to people well is part of being kind, but your motives and like what you're doing and actions also like rule, you know, in order to be a good person. It's like, it's just weird to me, man. It's like the, you know, those vegans do cocaine, you know, it's like the same thing. It's like I'm really health conscious when people are watching, but when they're not, I'm going to the bathroom and do a bunch of cocaine. And that's very LA too. You know?
It's like everyone has a mask.
Yeah. I knew a guy once that was like, I don't do drugs. Like, you know, I don't want that. Oh, I'll do your drugs, but I don't have any of my own, but I don't buy drugs. I don't buy drugs.
Let's save those for later.
I'm not going to have it. Yeah.
So funny. Wow.
Yeah, I think we touched a million topics. Like, this is crazy. It was interesting. I was kind of nervous to talk to you in a lot of ways. Because like rock stars have this, like I had this preconceived notion of musicians, and I thought that, like, and you pleasantly surprised me. I interview a lot of them. I'm not trying to knock anybody. But I'm just saying, like, I was pleasantly surprised by your intellect and stuff. And I'm not trying to be rude by saying, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to be rude by preconceived notions of musicians or anything like that. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but
drummers are normally thought of to be Neanderthals, so, you know, it doesn't take a lot to surprise people. But I
meant successful musicians, because I felt like you almost had to be fake to be successful in a lot of regards. And I didn't mean your instrument or anything like that, but you're in several big bands. And a lot of guys I meet are very phony like that. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean a lot of the guys don't have, like, I could see that you're like an intelligent person. And you're not telling me what I want to hear. You're not here to sell t-shirts. You're not like, just, you mean you're not just like, but you should, if you ask t-shirts, buy them, you know, if you're watching this, you're one of the hundreds of people watching the world. But I'm just saying, like, you're not, you know what I mean? Like, you're just here to be yourself. And like, you politely like touched a lot of things that I was kind of hesitant to bring up with you because I didn't know how you would react to it. I think that and I appreciate you like, and I love, what I love the most though, is that you pointed out it wasn't your dream to be the drummer of Offspring. That's hilarious to me. Like, that is completely hilarious to me. I assumed that was your dream job, and you pointed out it wasn't, and I love that. That's my favorite part of this.
We didn't ask you, what is your dream job?
I don't know. That's, I liked Anthony's thing of like, what, maybe I should just have a dream, you know, because, you know, why does it have to be based around work? I've started doing more composing and songwriting, and I really enjoy, like, I'm sitting here in my studio where, you know, I have drums set up, I track drums for people, I do all kinds of stuff. I'm composing a documentary right now. Like, ooh. I just like pushing myself in new creative ways. To me, that's exciting. Like, you know, getting out over my skis on something where I'm like, I don't know if I'm gonna stick this landing, but we're gonna, you know, keep it in the air as long as we can. That's been really exciting for me the last couple of years, is like, you know, like, all right, well, I still have a limited skill set. I hit things for a living. So what, you know, what can we do here? And it's been nice to kind of branch out just beyond drumming to other things. It's like, all right, I've been in this business for 30 years. I know a few things, you know, so maybe take that over to the production side of stuff and look at it from a different angle. So I don't know. I mean, it's harder and harder to get me out on the road anymore. Like, I'll still do it for people that I like. But in general, I kind of just like being home, working from my studio, and, you know, having dinner with my family every night. Like, I'm a pretty boring person in my older age here. But
even though it's boring, it's beautiful, because you have a real connection with someone that you loved so much that you have children. Like, I feel like that alone is so hard to find in this world.
No, my wife has saved my life dozens of times over in the 19 years that we've been together. And it's, you know, every day is, you know, I'm all cheesy here, but every day with them, honestly, is a blessing. And I wouldn't have gotten through the last few years without them, especially on the front end of when everything went to hell. Like, you know, my wife, my daughters, someone had eyes on me at all times for a few months, making sure that, you know, dragging me back out from such a dark place into where I am now, where I'm, you know, happier than I was. It's funny to get your perspective on a situation. And that's, you know, me saying the Offspring wasn't my dream job is not a slight against the band. It just wasn't, you know, I didn't grow up going, oh, I'm going to play in a punk rock band. I wanted to be in Metallica. I wanted to be in a metal band. You know, I wanted to be Tommy Lee. So, you know, that I veered off into a different direction and accidentally fell into punk rock and then just kept doing it. It just worked out like that. So, and I've been, you know, lucky to play with other people over the years, like Rob Halford and Devo and weird other things that just kind of came out of the woodwork and worked out. And those things are super exciting. Like, so I guess my dream job is just playing with a lot of different people, working on a lot of different projects, because I just like to be creative. And I like to bring some of myself to that. And sometimes in certain jobs, you're not bringing any of yourself there. You're there to fit a role and do it well and not have any opinions. But, you know, I think it's much much more exciting to create from a place of honesty and authenticity where I get to bring what I feel to a project. And so that for me has been the most exciting aspect of all of this, even through the doom and gloom, is like, you know, on the other side of it was a really great creative place to kind of start new from. And I've been enjoying it.
That's awesome.
What's your documentary about?
I can't really talk about it. It's not my documentary. I'm just doing the score for it. So a friend of mine is making a film about certain aspects of COVID and lockdowns and the effects it had on certain communities. So it's not my project to talk about. So I don't really want to say too much about it. Yeah. But I'm really enjoying doing the music for it and, you know, kind of branching out in new ways. It's because I'm a big movie fan. Like I like movies more than music. And so to be able to kind of work on the other side of that and really get into a scene and look at this, and even especially a real life scene with real people and real consequences, and be like, all right, well, what can I do in this moment to support the scene? What kind of emotion are they going for? And how can I express that with as little information as possible to not trample all over, you know, what's happening on screen? And that it's a really exciting challenge.
That's awesome.
That is cool. Yeah. And like, you guys can come on whenever it comes out. So you guys can promote it if you want. Like, I would.
Oh yeah. I'll hit you up.
Yeah. I love the it, stuff. Yeah. That's but what else do you find yourself like working on? Where do you see yourself like going? I guess kind of a typical question, but I think the answer would be interesting. Like, was after like all the carnage and destruction and negativity and stuff, like, where do you see yourself kind of be, like, going in the future? Where's future Pete going? You know, what are you going to be doing in like a year or so? You know, like, where's the world taking you, you think, man?
I don't know. I mean, hopefully I'm doing what I love here. I mean, I do a lot of recording work here in the studio. I make sound packs full of drum loops and different things for a company called Splice. So those keep me pretty busy putting all of those together based on different punk rock genre stuff or some pop rock stuff. And you know, I'm doing the composing work now. I have a band called The Defiant that I'm going out on a tour with in a couple weeks now. And so we're doing an East Coast run with a band called Me First and the Gimme Gimmies, and that should be a good time.
Awesome. And I love that band.
Yeah, they're so much fun. Yeah, that'll be great. So and then this summer I'm going out with my friends. Yeah, I went out last year with my friends in this band called The Bronx, and I'm going to fill in with them again this summer a little bit. And I just got hit up to play with another legendary guy this fall that I can't say anything about yet, but I'm pretty excited to do a couple shows with them. I think it'll be really cool. So it's, you know, there's a lot of juggling of schedules and things, but it's an exciting time. I feel really creative and like I've got a lot of energy to put into a lot of different things, which is nice.
It sounds like you're finally like in alignment with like where you're supposed to be, or what you're supposed to be doing is kind of what I feel.
Yeah, it feels, you know, like that.
All that stuff had to happen, and it probably maybe even triggered like some kind of awakening or like, you know, shift in perspective or perception of your reality. But it's kind of crazy. I feel like collectively everybody kind of went through something really similar during that time, and where like a lot of people that I connect with definitely had some sort of crazy shit happen to them that kind of like shook them out of like whatever like fake reality they were trying to convince themselves was supposed to be like their reality, right? And really I think everyone was like collectively not in alignment. And so that's really cool that you're finally into alignment and like you're doing stuff that you actually want to do, and you're not just like creating content for something that you're just like, yeah, like it's great, but you know.
Yeah, if I can't put my heart into it, I don't want to spend time on it. You know, it's just like what are we doing here? You know, the universe showed up and gave me a shove, so I'm trying not to fight back and just see where it goes.
That's awesome.
That's great. I love that energy, man. Do you have any regrets like whatsoever of your decision with not getting vaccinated and being continuing to tour with your offspring like at all? Is there any kind of like regret you feel or anything?
It was the right thing for me to do. It was the right thing for my family to do. And you know, I'll always stand behind that. I don't think anybody should have been forced into anything. And you know.
Yeah. I agree.
Especially injecting something in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Well, especially in his situation, you have immunity problems, right? Like that's what I read somewhere that like you have some kind of a thing where that would drastically, I mean, any kind of thing like that would like mess up your. What I've been reading is like this is like a slower acting like thing where anything you had going would enhance. So I mean this. I mean okay, mm-hmm. What I'm trying to say is like it would affect you more. I think personally.
Yeah. There was more risk than benefit for me in taking it. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, my doctor wrote me an exemption for it. He's like, you've already had COVID. He's like, look at you're healthy. You're not overweight. You don't take any medications. You don't have any comorbidities. You've already had COVID. There's no reason for you to take this. You know, you do have Guillain-Barré reaction. And so it's not like the benefits far or the risks far outweigh the benefits for you here. You shouldn't have to take this. And, you know, but it, throughout the industry, like that's not what anyone wanted to hear. They wanted to hear, yeah, I'm going to do it. Or here's my paperwork. I got my fake card. You know, that wasn't like they didn't want you showing up with a doctor's note going, yeah, he's not going to, you know, he's not eligible for this. He's not a good candidate for it. Cause it was like, well, that doesn't fit into our box that needs to be checked here. So, and we're not willing to spend any time, you know, after however many years you've been here giving a shit. And so, you know, it's that aspect of it was pretty, pretty sad because people will tell you in a band or a work situation, like, oh, we're all family here. And it's like, you're family up and to a point. And, you know, that usually the line is when you stop doing what they want, you're not family anymore.
And I hate that. I hate that aspect in business, man. I definitely have felt that a million times. Like, oh, you're my brother, you're your family. And as soon as I'm not doing all their homework and stuff, I'm not able to be used from my perspective. Yeah. The pizza party doesn't work on me anymore. They don't, they don't want you. And like you touched on the card thing. And I felt the same way when marijuana was like medicinal or whatever. I mean, some people it is probably, I'm not trying to debate that. But at the time I just liked being stoned. I didn't want to play like a victim. I didn't want to be like, oh yeah, I'm so sick. I'm such a victim and I'm so sick and I just need marijuana. I'm like, dude, I just want to get fucking stoned. I'm like, do I have to lie to you to get fucking stoned? That's why I never got medical marijuana or anything like that. I skipped the whole thing till it went like, and that's a weird example, but it's like, I don't want to have to like lie to these people about what I want. Unless you're pulling me over, then I'll lie to you. I'm like, oh no, I'm not stoned. But being like,
within reason,
that's completely different. That's plausible deniability, you know. But I'm saying, but I feel like I felt the same way with the medical marijuana thing. It's like, dude, yeah, you just gotta say you're like really sick and like you're a weak person. And I'm just like, but I'm not. You know, I'm just like, but I'm fucking strong, and I just want to be stoned. And it's like, you know,
yeah, I just want what I want, and we shouldn't have you know, beat around the bush about it. Yeah, I get that.
And I don't even smoke anymore. I haven't smoked in months, but I'm just saying, like, I still felt that way back in the day, though. When I was just like, same with the cards. Like, I'm not going to give you my fake papers to let me, you know, I don't need, is my job essential? It's like, who determines that? You know, it's like, it was like an insane argument. It's like, I got my paperwork. It says I'm important. It says I could drive these streets that I paid for with my tax dollars. You know, it's like, I'm like, what? It's just like, I want a tax refund for my 2020, 2021. Because we couldn't use the schools, the roads. You know, I'm like, give me all my tax money back, you thieves.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah,
that's like how I feel. I'm like, show me your paperwork, bro. You know, it's like, where's yours at, bro? You know, it's how I felt about it the whole time. It's like, and like, we couldn't even say that. I mean, we could say it, but it'd be like, this video would be knocked down in 10 seconds back then. I mean, thank God for Rumble. And like, shout out to Rumble for when this conversation happened. Like, 500,000 people watching this right now. I mean, just like, you know what I mean? YouTube would have already shut this up like the first 20 minutes we talked, you know?
Oh, for sure. Like, I'm sure I said unallowed words, but yeah.
And I love that. We're allowed to, though. You know, that's why we're allowed to say whatever words we want to. Like, that's my problem, too. But you can't say it. I'm like, I literally just did. You know, like, theory has proven
it's
it.
Just,
you know,
it's, words.
But it's just like, we have a First Amendment, and it's awesome. And I have freedom of press, and I'm pressed. Freedom of speech, and I'm a human. It's like I don't have to listen to any of these things. You know, it's like, but be kind to people still. You don't have to push it. You know, it's like, you know, I say some words people still get mad about. Like, it's, I don't know, but like this culture just changed on me, man. Like they just changed on. I'm like, I feel like an old man being like, back in my day, we just called everybody retarded. And they're like, did you just say the R word? I'm like, the R word? Like, what? And I'm just an old man being like, I just say words still, you know? That's how I feel. And I'm,
well, that's the thing. Free speech is even speech that you don't like. It's all free. It's all protected.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to agree with it. And there's plenty of speech I don't agree with, but I'll back up anybody's, you know, will to say it. Like, you're
right. That's how I feel 100%. And like, I truly don't want to push hate. I don't like hate speech is just some weird like blame thing of saying I don't like what you said. But I truly don't like hate. I mean, and that's my opinion. I think you're allowed to say hateful things, and I'm allowed to be like, that's kind of messed up, dude. You know, I think we're, you know, it's like. And then, like, certain things, and like what I was just saying, referencing, like, the word retard, for example, someone would be like, well, my brother's mentally handicapped. I'm like, you think that's what I meant? You know what I mean? I'm like, that is crazy to me. That's like my friend that won't shut up. You know, it's like, it has nothing to do with, like, you mean, I've never once thought mentally handicapped meant retarded, like, ever in my entire life. And when people come to me with that, they're like, they say that to me. I'm like, you thought that? That makes you terrible, bro. You know, it's like, I'm just trying to make fun of my friends, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's especially in the comedy world where what you're doing, you know, it seems like everybody's tiptoeing. I mean, the music world for sure, but it's okay to write a song about nothing. You can't just stand up and tell jokes about nothing. Like, you know, you gotta have a point of view. Yeah,
America loves when you don't apologize and you're just like you're like I just do what I want, and they're like, I want to do what I want. Free us. They're like, free me. You know, they look at me with those eyes like, free me. You know, like, I remember that. Like, it's the same thing. Like, I went to like Wine's Choice, and like, and here we're talking about like 2020 and stuff, and like, they're like, you have to wear a mask to be here. I'm like, I'm never listening to a cashier about how to live my life in my entire life. No offense. I'm like, I would never listen to you. And I start ordering, and like, you saw the ladies in the back like, free us. And I'm like, bro, I'm not William Wallace. I'm just doing my own thing, and you should do your own thing. If you chose to be in that situation, that's on you. If you chose to give up your freedom to be a fry cook, that's on you, homie. I'm just saying, no offense to fry cooks, I love fries. I'm not knocking them down. I'm just saying, like, that's not worth the sacrifice is all I'm saying, you know? And like, and I'm just like, man, anyone, we're all free. We're born free. We have free will. We have loud souls. We're infinite. We don't die. You know what I mean? And this is all just a ride, and people just take it way too seriously, and they waste this ride. Like being like scared all the time. You know, it's like, just enjoy the ride. It's fine. It'll be fine. It'll be over, and you'll want it back again. You know, we'll come back again. We'll just keep enjoying it. You know, it's like, our soul does not die. Just enjoy the life. Just enjoy your life.
No one's going to be scared. Yep. I don't know anyone that, you know, wants to get to the end of their life and sit there and go, boy, I wish I was more serious. I should have been more serious. You know, it's like, no, don't take yourself so seriously. Like, yeah, there's things that are important, but not everything has to ruin your day.
That's the hard part about not being stoned 24/7. Cause I feel like I'm way more serious now. Like, I mean, I'm way more just like, I have like a serious face all the time. I just look like I'm old and mad now. When the last like 20 years of my life, I was intoxicated the entire time, and I just laughed at everything. You know, I feel like I need to learn how to be like less serious while I'm sober now. Cause I feel like I just had fun the whole time. I just laughed at everything, and just, you know, now I'm just like, I'm like, get off my lawn. You know,
it's like a balance. You gotta create that balance where, like, instead of like just taking things, not taking anything seriously, to like taking everything too seriously. You gotta find that, like, in between. You
gotta find your laugh without the weed. You know, it's still there.
I think it's like working out. So I think working out is like the new thing I do. Like, it's like, I rode a bike like, I don't know, 14 miles yesterday, bro. It's just, you know, wait a second, not a real bike, an e-bike, but still, you know, it's like, I just want to clarify, okay. I'm not like riding 14 miles. Yeah,
but it's like on a tricycle, you know, like.
Yeah. I'm not trying to act like I'm just like, you know what I mean? I'm just pushing
myself. Side of the freeway, like.
Yeah, no. And like, did you have problems like that when you're in a band? So like, that is probably, everybody offers you stuff. Being in a famous band, I bet it's the same way as being a comedian. Everyone's like, hey, you want to do my drugs tonight? You know, like hey, you want to drink all my whiskey? You want to drink all my tequila? And I'm like, oh, did you have problems with that too growing up? Like,
I mean, where I grew up, there wasn't a whole lot to get into. I mean, it was, there are more cows than people.
No, I mean, so like in the band, growing up in the bigger bands.
Oh, and band stuff. Yeah, there's always stuff around. Like, things, stuff will get offered to you. I never had anyone like, you know, take this stuff, or, you know, there was never a mandate. Yeah, there.
Pulling a knife up to you.
Like, yeah, it wasn't like the COVID vaccine, you know, where you had to have it. But no, recreational drugs, nobody was mandating. But no,
everyone's sharing the same drug spoon. You're like, this makes no fucking sense.
Even in a business meeting tomorrow, I have a business meeting at like noon tomorrow. They're like, we're gonna smoke so much weed tomorrow. I'm like, man, I quit smoking, dude. You know, it's like, I just, you mean, I have to like just stand down on that, you know. And it's like weird, so I want to keep my lungs and stuff and be 90, you know. And like, and like, it's more about that than anything else. But it's like, it's just a weird thing. Because I feel like as a comedian, the same as the rock star and probably a porn star. I mean, all three of us probably have the same temptations around all the time. People just want to be fucked up. Like, do you want to smoke all my weed and drink all my tequila? And I'm like, 6 months ago, fuck yeah, I did. But like right now, I don't, you know? It's just like,
You caught me in a different phase of life, but
yeah.
I grew up 10 years too late, you know? It's like, that's what it feels like. But I'm sure you got more important things to do to be on this cell phone podcast. So if you have any like a promo you want to throw on or anything like that, we'll ease out of this whole thing we're doing right now. And then also thank you for going backwards in your career and being here. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. It's actually Pete's part of Pete's community service. He's on probation, so he has to be on this podcast. I'll sign your paper at the end of this, Pete, and make sure you get your hours in.
Political dissident probation is doing the podcast.
I'll make sure to sign your papers at the end of it to show you show the judge.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll get a good report this week. Sorry, it'll make up for last month.
But if you want to call any promo and stuff to the hundreds of people watching right now and the thousands that watch it after it airs and stuff.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, you can find me at just my website, PetePerotta.com. I have my recording studio here. I track drums for people. I make loops, sound packs, do producing, songwriting, composing, you know, anything you want, hit me up. My band, The Defiant, will be out on tour April 12th through May 5th from Chicago down to Florida. And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter just at Pete Parada. I don't have a Facebook or any of that stuff, but you know, come hang out.
Nobody has Facebook. Follow Pete on everything that he said. Buy all his records and like his future stuff. Nikki, you gonna throw anything out too? Feel free. We got a lot of people watching.
Instagram, Nikki X Knightley, Twitter. Probably the same. I don't know. Just Google my name. I don't give a shit. Thank you so much, Pete, for coming on. I really appreciate you coming on. It's good.
Oh, thanks for having me. I had a great time talking with you guys.
Yeah.
Likewise, man. Pleasure to meet you. And I was pleasantly, I loved it, man. I love the interaction stuff. And if you're one of the people watching, I appreciate you spending your Tuesday. I know it's like 11 Eastern time, 10 Central time. I mean, California, it's still early. I don't respect you as much, you know?
Yeah, they got
time. I'm just joking. But if you're watching this on a Tuesday night, thank you. This would be entirely delusional. It would be a Zoom call without you. So I appreciate everyone watching this. I appreciate Rumble featuring this. I appreciate everyone Rumble watching this. If you're listening to this on whatever after it goes live, thank you very much. Join us every weekday at like 8:30 Central, 6:30 Pacific, 9:30 Eastern, and we will continue to talk to amazing people like Pete, complete legends that shouldn't do this show, and we'll take their charity every night at 8:30 Central, and like I said, I appreciate everybody watching this, because like without you, this wouldn't happen. So if you watch this on your phone right now or your TV, it wouldn't happen without you. I'm a complete nobody, and I love that you people are watching this, and I love that you watching this, you're somebody. I'm a nobody. That's all I'm saying. So thank you for watching this, and I hope you guys all have a good night. And I'm gonna get out of here.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
Later on.